So this is a day called Isrul Chag, which means bind yourself to the festival. And all the festivals have a message on the idea. And this applies to all of them, but to Shavuot it applies to the higher level. So when you start studying, take together the passages that refer to the festival of Shavuot. Shavuot has got five names. Chag Shavuot is the culmination of the 7 weeks. So I'd like to emphasize the key word that surrounds the festival of Shavuot, which you don't find with any other festival. Some of the key word, as it says, key, it opens up a deeper message. So if we refer to the first description of this festival, Shavuos, in the passage concerning the festivals, in Parshas Emor, which is in Vayikra, the book of Leviticus, and this mention, the 23rd chapter, page 145 of the Jerusalem Bible. So here, it refers to this second festival, the introduction of Kaut Kiyama, which introduces the festival. The Omer starting the second day of Pesach, and that's referred to that you should come from the morrow of the Shabbat. It says here in verse 15, from the day when you bring the Omer, Sheva Shabbatot Moten, there should be 7 Shabbatot of perfection. Which is a phrase we don't find anywhere else. What a Shabbos, we know, is the culmination of the week. And here, obviously, we're going to count 50 days. You're going to have Shabbos. You have 4 times Shabbos. But why is it called Temimos? Complete. From here we learn out that the counting is going to be complete. Shouldn't miss a day. Halacha we learn off from here. You miss the day, you can't continue saying with a blessing. But still, what is concept of Temimos, affection? And then it more or less hides the other aspects of the celebration of Shavuos. It says that when you come, it's all it says, when you come to this culmination of the 50th day, which happens to coincide also with the day when the Torah was given, then you bring a new offering. This offering, in fact, has to be made of chometz. But it does say, again, emphasized in verse 18, that what you bring in the sanctuary, in the temple, on this 50th day, they've got to be kvasim tzimimim, they put in lambs without a blemish. Perfect. Again, you have the concept to be min. And then it says in verse 21, that here it mentions that this day is called Etzem Hayom Hazeh. It's a very important day, a powerful day. Same phrase used by Yom Kippur. Same phrase is used on the 14th of Nisan, went out from Egypt, not by the others. That means the day itself is very powerful, this 50th day. And one way you have to express it is by leaving the harvest, some parts of the harvest have to be left for the poor. But this concept of Tamimus and Etzem Hayom Hazeh is a bit mysterious. Now I'll show you something else. This is the Sefer Rishon. This is the Sefer, meaning it's the Sefer that describes the festival, right? But then we have another passage in Parshas Pinchas, where we have the offerings brought on the different festivals, and then we're going to see how the festival of Shavuot is described. So if you turn to 28th chapter of Bamidbar, page 197. So there it says, describes the Pesach, and then in verse 26, it said, on the day of the first fruits, when you bring the new offering to Hashem, b'shavuoteichem, when you finish your counting of the weeks, describes the offering you have to bring, two loaves of bread, the mitzvah chadashah, but you also have to bring other offerings, seven lambs. But when it mentions the goat, which by other festivals is a chatos, or sin, here it doesn't mention sin. Compared to all the other offerings, it's always zim lechatos, for a sin offering. But on this day, there's no sinfulness. Zim zim lechot. Apart from the lot of minchasa, it says again, ta'asu temimim yuruchem. They should be complete, perfect. It's not mentioned anywhere else, only here. Only by Shavuot does it say it's got to be temimim. So, where do any of you know where else do we find this phrase temimim emphasized?
Korban HaTamid. It
doesn't say temimim. No. It says tamim. The offerings, all of them have to be without a blemish. So then it says also, the daily lamb, whatever you bring, without a blemish. All the offerings, only kosher, they don't have a blemish. Any blemish disqualifies. But to go and emphasize that this tribute to Mimim Yeruchem does not exist with any other offerings except the offerings of Shavuot, or Shavuot Seichem. But there's no mention in these passages for the giving of the Torah. Because we say Shavuot is Man Matan Torateinu. We don't know from these passages concerning the festivals. So I say we do know it. Because of this word Tamimim. Because Tamimim is used with regard to what?
The Torah.
Toiras Hashem Tamimot. Toiras Hashem Tamimot. Toiras Hashem Tamimot. Meshivas Nofesh. What gives the soul back to the people of Israel? If the Torah which is perfect. So I think this is the link which is shown to be his key word, used for Shavuot, and the word Tamimim, which is used in the 90th chapter, which is just a sung. So you see, this is Tamimim, Teres Hashem is perfection. Let's try to understand what this means. I'm going to take as my source the deep statement made at the end of the guide for the Lex. A fantastic deep work by Rambam. So he says at the end of it that you can divide human beings according to different categories, according to what type of affection do they seek. Because the essence of human being is that we've got inside ourselves, which doesn't exist so much in other species, but the human being inwardly strives for affection. Now, I suppose it has to do with the nature of the human being. It's developed a lot by the Maharaj, this concept, that even the physical existence of the human being depends on a striving to become more perfect, deep inside. We teach this baby, how to crawl. After a certain time, the baby wants to crawl himself. You teach him how to walk, and he wants to walk himself. You spoon feed him, after a certain time, he wants to feed himself, because he wants to grow. So the urge for growth exists in each human being. The question is, what type of growth? One type, he says, is people strive for perfection of possessions. Whatever they have, they want more. If the baby's got a few toys, they want more. Possessions. To grab more and more things, the baby. Yeah. It's true, it's got to do a lot with the appetite. Or at least, let's say, it goes to the appetite as well. The baby will often grab things, put them to his mouth, see what they taste like. Because the earth, but really wants possessions. So, when a person grows up, also, his main concern is to be more perfect in possessions. Whether possessions mean real estate, or companies, or money, but he wants possessions. So he said, the truth is, that type of affection that Rambam says, is not a perfection of the person at all. It's just in his mind, he associates himself with the amount of possessions to be under his control. So he says, that's something that I'll say. A person who has 100 wants 200. And this is a type of perfection that can drive a person crazy. He wants more and more and more. And then he says that he can take from other people without control. After that, in a hidden way. But they want, what is it really? It's just a juxtaposition of certain aspects of wealth which exist in this world. And they're attached to his name, that's all. He attaches them to his name. Sometimes he also has power over them, he can keep them. So anyway, that's the first perfection. Of course, if people are perfectionists, they want whatever they have to be perfect, then it becomes something very negative. Even the striving of perfection is, especially in American language, is associated a lot with a very negative quality. Which when people say, well, you know, I can't stand it, I come into my house and everything is not in its exact position where it should be. But they feel so much attached, they say, well, that's got to be perfect. Not perfect, he gets depressed. People sometimes think some obsessive compulsions, everything's got to be in its place. Perfectionism can really drive a person crazy. But the same applies to the second type of affection, which is power of the body. My body has to be perfect, as much as possible. And people do have a natural striving, their body should be healthy and should be strong to be able to cope well with all situations in life. But not everyone tries to become Mr. Atlas or get what's the black belt in karate or does constant exercise to have better muscles to lift weights. So people, nevertheless, they want their bodies to be powerful, and that goes also sometimes into other aspects. They want to have power over other people. So it's the second type of striving for affection, which has to do with the body. It's true the striving for the body should function, every one of its limbs. It's very helpful and can lengthen life. If people like that, they'll be careful of the dangers that exist from substance abuse, from smoking and drugs and so on. So, it's a striving which, however, if it's left at that level, so we can come perhaps the strongest animal, as it were, on this globe, but does not enter the human character. The next one is knowledge. And here already this is something spiritual, the mind. And this is what drives all people to produce things of the mind, wider sense, including the other qualities of the soul, such as the aesthetic quality of developing curiosity, what's going on around us, this intellectual perfection. And many seek to become intellectually perfect in different sciences, or in the humanities, or in creating the development of poetry, music, and art. Is also aspect of a higher spiritual development of the human being. But he says the ultimate aspect is all the question of tamimus, to try and find perfection. But true perfection can only come with perfection of the morals, of the moral character of the soul, of the midos. And that's why we attach the midos, as we describe very frequently, to counting the 7 times 7 days. And that's the concept of tamimus. And that Toiras Hashem Tamimo, is the Toiras Hashem is the science, not of the stars, not of the microcosm, the macrocosm, the science of reaching saintliness. And the person comes to that level, then he develops his neshama, source of the conscience, to its highest level, then he meets up with Hashem. And that's the concept of Toiras Hashem Tamimo, which is the 8th pasuk in chapter 19 of Tehillim. And the first 7 pasukim, they deal with the world of nature, of the heavens, and also the marvels of the earth declare the glory of the Creator, the harmony of nature, which teaches us the existence of the Creator. But the Torah is a higher level of revelation. Hashem revealed through the Torah which he gave on Shavuot the higher pattern of saintliness, Seirat HaDibrot, or the headings, this deeper aspect to it. And that's the eighth Madrega. And there we find this described best in chapter 119 of Tehillim, where we have the letter of the other place in which the Torah was written, in the first letters of eight verses on each letter, describing, as it says in the first verse, Ashrei Tamimei Derech, happy are those who put a path of perfection, Orchim B'Torah Hashem, who follow the Torah Hashem. So, let's analyze this possible, because we know a person who does want to reach the top, let's say in sport, he wants to be the world champion. It's high ambitions. He can only do it if he exercises self-discipline and also keeps certain program day by day and does it without interruptions in between, otherwise he'll go up and then he'll go down. And then he can work on himself step by step, also can't jump steps, and then you get there, get near there as much as possible. Complete perfection, perhaps. Well, same applies, people want to reach any highest levels in any area of life, whether it's in retaining their wealth and possessions, or whether it's to do with, as we said, regular exercise to reach the highest level in their sport, or if you want to reach the highest level in music also, you've got to keep it up and go from one level to the next level until you reach the highest level. And this is those who strive for perfection. So here it says, HaHolchim, the Torah Hashem. Holchim is the concept of halacha. Many halacha goes into many details. And you have to only keep to it day by day. So what lies behind it? Behind it lies, you want to reach perfection in the right manner. Then follow that path. So therefore the Torah gives us a derech in life, a path, a purposeful path. You should perfect not to go beyond your potential, for then you're jumping a step in the ladder, you fall down, and you have a relapse. Sometimes even you break your bones. So go step by step. Don't go to the next step until you regularly exercise yourself in the previous step. So it says, this is the path toward perfection for mankind. The Jewish people, we have to show the way for our example. And you look through the whole of this longest chapter, Tehillim, it goes through this concept in many different stages. This is the path of the Torah. And the truth is, this is the message which very interesting, that the Rambam, he's got a view that the human being can't refine in words the perfection of Hashem. And therefore, when we say Hashem is kind, that He looks after us, His eyes upon the land of Israel, all these are anthropomorphisms, which means they're a human language which describes the being who is beyond the human being, who creates you, the human being, with his mind, constantly recreates it. Therefore, All we can say when we say God is all powerful, use the word powerful from the human angle, He is greater than anything that we describe as power. And really all the only logically and even theologically pure descriptions of Hashem are negative. And as we say, He's not weak and He's not cruel and so on. So he's the one when it says you should know Hashem. How can you know Hashem? It says you really know Him negatively. That's what a certain person who kept on saying long praises of Hashem. So Hashem said, one of the Chachom said to him, how long you continue to blaspheme Hashem? So the Rambam nevertheless says the purpose of life is to know Hashem. So he says at the end of the Moreh Nevuchim, Guide for the Perplexed. It's true today, the Guide for the Perplexed, I don't recommend it to be read as a whole to the average student of today, unless in very much advanced, because it's been called also, even in the Middle Ages, the perplexity of the teacher, Moreh Nevuchim, because it causes people who don't understand what he's saying to become a bit confused, because he deals with Aristotelian philosophy. If you don't know that, then a lot of the passages, Moreh Nevuchim, remain mysterious, but there are very many great thoughts. So near the end he says, we describe the purpose of life, the purpose of the mitzvah. He quotes this pasuk from Yirmiyahu, which says that Al yitalel Adam b'chokhmato, v'al yitalel Adam b'oshro, v'al yitalel Adam b'gvurato, ela b'zot yitalel amitahel, haskel v'yavda oti, k'ani oseh chesed tako mishpat ha'aretz, k'ivei lichafatzin u'mashem. So he says, this verse says, a person who is wise, let not pride himself on his wisdom, who is very rich, not pride himself on his wealth, who is very strong, not pride himself on his strength, only in this may a person pride himself, that he dedicates himself to understand and know me, to know Hashem. How? Because he should know me, that I am the one who produces loving kindness and justice in the world, because these are the matters that I really desire. So he said, by a person, so explain to the saying of the sages, that same statement, everything in the hands of heaven, except Yirat Shamayim, which means, and in this context, and many other contexts, except choosing the good. That's Yirat Shamayim. The person chooses the good, he develops his saint at a high level, then he knows Hashem. And he fears Hashem, it's all in front of Hashem. So the sages say, before baby is born, he decided how intelligent he'll be, what's the extent, the potential of his brain and mind, what will be the situation of his wealth, and also of his physical strength. All these are decided, predetermined, but anything has to do where a person has used his conscience, or reported, and the extended conscience of the Torah, there a person has complete freedom of choice. He can choose. In a way, he can prove it. I mean, in the Nazi regime. So, I mean, the vast majority of the Germans and the others, they cooperated with the Nazis. But there were a whole lot of individuals, also in Germany, non-Jewish, who resisted. Although it was very, very difficult, people of real conscience, he was sat in prison, and some were even also, unfortunately, killed. I mean, these, when the highest level, to the environment where people say, well, we're in such danger here, you know. But they had such a strong moral feeling, and they saved Jews. Like the Swedish diplomat, they saved hundreds of thousands of Jews. But there were people who resisted, people of conscience. So the conscience is a question of choice. There Hashem doesn't interfere. But this is the test of life. And a person who's got a high level of conscience, then he has reached the level of the true knowledge of Hashem. And that's why it's Ashrei Tamim Ben Derech, this Tamim. So, you could even say, there's many questions concerning Shavuot, where people ask, one of the main questions is, we've got a parsha connected with Mamad Har Sinai. It doesn't say there together when the Torah was given anything about Shavuot. Neither the passage in Yitro, and also if we go to the passage in the Devarim, where the commandment to remember that great event is given, Torah, a lot of extra Torah put in by Moshe Rabbeinu. It says you must never forget this day. But I don't think that even when the Ramban says a great mitzvah, in fact, if you don't remember it, you're transgressing. But it doesn't mean to say on Shavuot. You've got to remember the day every day. Now the main message of Shavuot, don't limit it. Just like Shavuot was a revelation from Hashem beyond time and space, into the world of time and space. But the tamimot of Shavuot demands that you've got to keep it every day of the year and never forget it. Because this is what lies behind the whole of our life. Strive for spiritual perfection, which is really a striving for something which comes from the soul, and the soul we have is also beyond time and space definition. We can't define it. But we know the source of the highest levels of human endeavor is that area where you've got to decide yourself what you're going to do, how you're going to train yourself to reach a higher level. And therefore it's raised above time. And it never stops. And that's one of the reasons the Rambam doesn't even count it as a mitzvah. Well, because that's really the whole Torah. The whole Torah is the path of Tmimut. And Tmimut, concept of a pattern which will bring mankind to the highest possible spiritual perfection, which means moral perfection, because that the essence is to whatever we have to give it on further, to give it on further to others who don't have it, to try and spread morality in the world, to spread good deeds, to spread situations when we're faced with challenges in the light of the neshama. That's what we give in the Torah. The Torah is Hashem is Tamimo. And just like there's a law that you should constantly learn Torah, for example, I'll ask you a question. When you go in the sukkah, there's a mitzvah, to sit down and eat something in the sukkah, you say brocha. Leshev ha-sukkah. What happens if afterwards you go to some appointments elsewhere, you come back to the sukkah, you say another brocha?
For a minute.
Not for a minute.
For a minute, not yes.
You've been out for a few hours. Yeah, you mean now to learn the Bisa Medrash, or to daven, or to do business, whatever you have to do. You come back to the sukkah. Do you make another bracha?
No. If you eat mizanot, you have.
Yeah. You have to make a second bracha.
Yeah.
Everyone agrees. You have to. Yeah. So I'll ask you, if in the morning We say a bracha before we learn Torah. Nasai. And then we say all the brachas. Shabbat Habonu. Say a few brachas in the morning on the Torah. And then we learn something. It's even put in the Siddur what we learn. There's some psukim, we learn something, Mishnah. And what happens? Then we daven, or you could say that's a continuation somewhere. But then you have breakfast, and then you go out to do some work. Go to business, work. Then you come back to learn, to shir. Come in the afternoon for a shir. Do you make a bracha on the Torah?
No.
Make another bracha?
No.
When people come, let's say, Daf Yomi Shir, many Baal Batim, when they're busy and everything, come Daf Yomi Shir at 6 o'clock, make another bracha? No, why not?
Because you already made a bracha.
But by Sukkot, you also already made a bracha. You come back on the Sukkot to eat. What's the difference?
He's gone out of his mind.
What?
Because he's gone out of his mind. He's forgot about it, the Sukkot. When he comes back, but when he's learning Torah all the time, then he doesn't forget about it.
But let's say a person doesn't learn Torah all the time.
It's still on his mind.
Huh?
He is doing Torah all the time, even in business.
He's thinking Torah all the time.
Okay. Yeah. You're right, it's relaxed. You should, even when you're in Asik, you're doing business. If the business works according to the laws of the Torah, then you can say you're continuing. In other words, it's, as far as the obligation is concerned, in fact, it says concerned, Bugiso Koyo Mokolayo, of him Neheke Yoman Balayla. Now, let me ask you, in modern Hebrew, what is a hege?
A steering wheel.
Steering wheel. Yes?
What's that?
A steering wheel.
In the car, the wheel in the car.
Ah. The wheel in the car, or whatever you're driving. To know the right direction. So you make your car move in the right direction. So a hege, we say, if I had an hege, the Torah, the Gita, you've got day and night, but it's got to be the hege, Gita, for your whole life. So you can interpret it. Day and night, if you don't want to drift through life, but you want to steer a clear path through life, then use as your steering wheel in all the turmoil that exists. You'll be able to avoid collisions and go always in the right direction. By letting the Torah steer you. That means the hikayon, like you said, the mind, has always got to be attached to the steering wheel of life. It allows you to find the right path and not to drift. Therefore, the Torah has to be there, your man balayla. So, everything. So the Torah continues. You want to be mederach? Welcome to Hashem. It's a continuous attachment to the Creator's way of linking up with the human being, and telling him, always live by the conscience. The Torah, the depths of the Torah are in the human conscience, but they're not so clearly revealed. They're more clearly revealed through prophetic revelations. Adam HaRishon to Noah, Luchai Kodesh, and then to Am Yisrael. But Am Yisrael, we're supposed to have, and we all do have, a higher potential of conscience, because we were witnesses to revelation to 3 million people. And that power is born into, if we use Jungian expressions, the archetype of the Jewish people. And that's because, that's the Tremos. And this answers the question. Shavuos is the trigger that can bring us to renew our midot on the highest level and to walk with the Torah of Hashem day and night, all the year round. Okay. Any questions?
Yes, what about a person's environment?
Yes.
If he's born in an environment of thieves,
yes,
where they're all thieves and the best thieves, then his environment surely has a big concern. Or if he's born in an environment of a rabbi and his mother's a rabbi, his father was a rabbi, then he's got a better chance of being a Rosh Hashiva, or at least a rabbi. So it must be really difficult for a person that's not in that.
There's an element of conscience. Hashem is Borah will always treat a person according to how he estimates his ability. He'll find sometimes there are people in such an environment, like he described, let's say, an environment of criminals or different generations. It's going to people to the genes even. And they, you know, they are already addicted from their environment. But there's certain areas of life, like they say, there's honesty even amongst thieves. Yeah? They'll be honest with one another. So Hashem judges each person according to circumstances. You're quite right that the person who, like you described, some rabbi and everything else, he'll be judged very severely if he goes away in the smallest matters. But the person who is it says Mishle, Levuzilakan of Kiro, one of them's a thief, he's so hungry, he can't get food anywhere, and he steals, and he knows background, Hashem knows, he's not going to have the same punishment in heaven. And if people find out about it on earth, judges also have this into consideration, as people who had a far higher level of virtue inculcated into their lives. So we said, that's why it said, people, is you can't judge any individual. Human beings can't judge somebody else. Only Hashem can judge them. And in order to strengthen actual virtue, so therefore the teachers have to concern themselves with those who need moral help. And the Jewish people have to concern ourselves to develop amongst our nation the highest level of Kiddush Hashem. So that's why saints, so-called saints, are treated even if they transgress a hair's breadth. That's the expression of the sages. And therefore, this is the concept that Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, or the level of the person. A person who's unfortunately got emotional drives and classify him even as a shoyter. You can't blame him for anything. And there are many people, they're not in a situation of being a saint, but they're so addicted certain different things, then we assure Hashem will not punish them for these addictions once they reach the high level. Even said about the Pharaoh, why did Hashem have to it said all the time the different plagues, you can learn it from the plagues as well. Hashem, he punished Pharaoh's in a progressive level, one level to the next, because he was getting more and more immune to any ordinary castigations. It didn't work anymore, because the puts it this way, a person reached such a high level that he can't do tshuva anymore. He's addicted to evil, he's got a mania. That's such great punishment, much worse than even things that he does. In this world, we don't know this, but in the Kali world. In other words, let's take, Hitler or Eichmann, much more, they were addicted to their methods of cruelty against the Jews. The Kali became addicted also. Therefore, they were no longer human beings. They were acted like robots for evil. which is that is the problem of major problem today. A lot of these murderers, they become robots for evil, robots for murder. And they're addicted to it. They even enjoy it. It's like nonsense. The human society is now governed, some of the governed by people who are maniacs, like the Emperor of China. You see the latest news? Because he's had a lot of his officers. He said they were going to be executed. Why are they going to be executed? One of the head officers was executed. The head one was executed because he didn't show him enough honor on a certain occasion. The emperor, the dictator of China. So they've got very angry with him, Karandachi. So therefore, after he blamed him, and they blamed all the other officers, for not providing enough rice for the soldiers of his army. Being executed now. So it's maniacs, and the Iranians, not maniacs, they're maniacs. We have the duty to remain sane.